I thought Dean was coming in when I heard that music. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick on 720 WGN. Nick will be back tomorrow, and he will give his full Oscar rundown. I don't know if you got to watch the Oscars. It's 3 in the morning. If you're up, perhaps you were doing something else. I know I was, well, I was doing something else. I was doing my show for most of the Oscars, so I didn't see a lot of it. I saw a few things here and there. I was following on the Twitterverse, because that's how you keep up with all your information. Susan, did you get to watch? I know you've been in here for a while. Did you get to watch any of the Oscars tonight?
You know, I saw maybe the first 45 minutes or so.
How did you think it went?
Well, you know, as well as possible with all the controversy going on this year, I thought Chris Rock handled it appropriately. There were laughs, but as far as getting into the awards and such, I really have only seen a couple of the movies.
I felt bad this year. I had not seen, except for Mad Max, which I talked about earlier, I hadn't seen any of the movies. We were going to watch, Friday night, we were going to watch Spotlight, and then we decided, oh, we're a little tired, we'll probably fall asleep, so let's watch it Saturday night, when again we figured we were too tired, because I guess I'm ancient now and I can't stay up past 10 o'clock to watch a movie, because once I get in the chair, the big chair, I'm sound asleep. So I hadn't seen any of them either, which is, usually I've seen at least a couple. So I felt very bad this year. I felt completely out of touch. But I'll go, now that Spotlight won Best Picture, I can watch, you know, it's pay-per-view. I can watch it anytime.
Absolutely. Yeah, and once you find out which movies receive the most awards, maybe you're inspired to stay up until 10:30 and maybe watch a few.
Listen, let's not get crazy. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That was nutty.
I may have to watch it as a matinee.
So, there you go.
We'll hold off on dinner, or we'll eat on TV trays like it's 1963. We'll eat on TV trays in front of the so we can watch the movie, so I don't have to worry about going to sleep. I was surprised, for all the hype surrounding The Martian, it got nothing. Got zero. So did Star Wars. Star Wars,
like, really?
The big juggernaut movie of the world that everybody was talking about. You know, people loved it. I didn't see it. I know it had a roly-poly robot, and it had, you know, stormtroopers and lightsabers. I didn't see. What are you laughing about? It did have a little roly-poly robot, right?
No,
or droid. Is it a droid?
Your description is apt. I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad you did. I thought maybe I was erroneous. No. But I've seen this thing, BB-8 or
yes.
BB-9?
BB-8.
Or BB... Is BB-8, is that what it is?
BB shotgun.
Yeah. You'll put your eye out, kid. There's another movie reference that didn't win an Academy Award. Christmas Story. Shut out. Sadly. But it was BB-8, right?
Correct.
All right. And the only reason I know that is because every young child I know has either a BB-8 something, a BB-8 Sphero or a BB-8 something else. You know, the Spheros, which is the ball that's remote controlled you drive around. We used to have cars that were remote controlled. Now they've got these balls, and the kids, quote-unquote, learn to code so they can drive this ball around. It's like, wow, look at that ball rolls. You know how else I can code to make a ball roll? I just push it because it's a ball, and they roll. That's what balls do. You know what would be cool? You make me a square that I could code, and it would then collapse into a ball and roll. Then I would think you were some sort of a genius. Anybody with, any sort of body part can make a ball roll. I don't need a lot of brain power. That's why they give infants balls. Infants can't code. Maybe they can nowadays. Who knows what the kids are up to with all their high-tech gadgetry. But the point is, it's just a ball. All right, how did we get onto that when we're supposed to be celebrating Hollywood and its diversity? Oh, wait. We're not celebrating its diversity. Isn't that right, Chris Rock?
Well, I'm here at the Academy Awards, otherwise known as the White People's Choice Awards. You realize if they nominated host, I wouldn't even get this job. So y'all be watching Neil Patrick Harris right now.
Ooh, scathing. Now, Dan, you were watching the Oscars because you were pulling all this fine audio, and I'm only going to play a little again. I know people are tuning in waiting, hoping Nick would be here to talk. He'll do his whole thing tomorrow, so don't worry. You're not getting short shrift. Nick will do his Oscar wrap-up. But from what I was reading, and again, I didn't get to see it because I was doing my show, there were a number of complaints on the internet, which really, is there ever anything that's not a complaint on the internet?
Right.
But that Chris Rock kept hammering this theme home, which I think almost he must have felt it was his responsibility. Did you see that throughout the program?
Yeah, you know, I think it was exacerbated by the fact that, like, the bits didn't come off as funny. You know, I
well,
mean,
that Stacey, that one thing I did see was that Stacey Dash.
Yeah, Stacey Dash came out for a second.
What was that monstrosity?
No, it just didn't make any sense. She's like, I'm here to celebrate Black History Month. And then she walked off the stage and that was it.
Yeah, because I guess from what I read, she's a Fox News contributor.
Right.
And she's been very outspoken about that there shouldn't be a Black History Month. And so that was supposed to be the joke,
I guess.
But watching the reaction of the Hollywood glitterati as they sat there, that was the best part of it. Them going, what's she doing here?
Yeah.
And then just grimacing because it was, I had never heard a bit fall so flat in all my life. But so that one didn't work. Was a lot of it in that vein?
You know, coincidentally, the funny stuff was the quick stuff. You know, he would come back from break and be like, I'm black. I mean, I'm back. And, you know, there'd be little things aside in that. There was a bit where he interviewed moviegoers.
Okay.
About it. And that actually I thought was pretty funny because it was, you know, he'd be like, oh, did you see Carol? Did you see The Martian? Did you see The Revenant? And this lady's like, I haven't seen any of those movies, and I'm here every week. And she's like, are you just making these up? He's like, these are nominated for Oscars. She's just like, where, in Britain? You know?
Wow.
Like, so, I mean, there was some, you know, funny moments there, but, you know, it was just, it didn't, I thought, you know, the monologue kind of like, it was a tough job because, you know, he had to walk the line between both acknowledging it and kind of making fun of it.
Right, because he's still there as the host of the Oscars. He can't poop all over it.
Right.
That's and Triumph like, the Insult Comics dog
job. And even in his past, you know, joke and comedy routines, you know, he doesn't care. He'll spray it off. He will make fun of African-Americans, everyone. And
he's great. Chris Rock is phenomenal.
And so, like, there were some pointed comments, but, again, maybe not funny. So when it's not funny, it's like, okay.
Well, here's one. When I talked to you before, you said, same basically what you said now. So here's another little clip from Chris Rock's monologue. You decide, funny or not funny.
I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63, and black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know? Too busy being raped and lynched to care about who won Best Cinematographer.
Valid point. And I think that's perfect. It doesn't always have to be, you know, yuck, yuck, ha ha, funny. It makes its point, and I think it is funny. And here's the thing. I know people are going to be, well, why did he have to keep bringing it up? Because, you know, that's part of his job. His job is to skewer things as well as pay the homage to what is going on at the Academy Awards. All right, well, one bit I saw that was very, very funny, and I like, you know, they're always trying to come up, since Ellen had the selfie, everybody's trying to come up with a viral bit, something that's going to live on after the Oscars, get people talking, and what better way than to involve your children in the Oscar ceremony. Chris Rock had his daughters come out and do what little girls do this time of year, shill for Girl Scout cookies.
I've been out here working for a couple of weeks, for a little while, right? And I've been away from my two daughters at a very important time in their life. I have missed most of Girl Scout cookie season. I haven't been there to help them sell cookies, and last night, Zara, my youngest, called me up and said, Daddy, how come we never sell the most cookies? How come Mrs. Dunn wins every year? So I want you all to know, it would mean so much to my two little girls if we could beat Linda Dunn. So I want you to reach into your millionaire pockets, and I want you to buy some of my daughter's Girl Scout cookies. Look at my babies up there. Are you going to deny my princesses some cookies? Right there, right there. Oh, Charlize Theron? Yes. Matt Depp? Yes. Okay, you get him. You get him. Leo, made 30 million. Come on.
Yeah, cough it up. I thought that was really, really funny. And it seemed like the Hollywood elite took that in stride. Who did Chris Rock tell that he had diabetes so that he could not...
Louis Gossett Jr.
Was it Louis Gossett Jr.? Tell him, you had diabetes. You can't be buying these cookies. He could buy them and give them to someone. Today was a big Girl Scout day. Everywhere we went, because of the good weather, the Girl Scouts had their tables out. And I have not... Since my daughter stopped selling Girl Scout cookies, and she used to win because she was relentless, I haven't had Girl Scout cookies, and I miss them. I have to, but there's a part of me that is glad that I don't get to see Girl Scout cookies. My wife told me today that she bought Girl Scout cookies, but now they have an option, and they had this when my daughter was selling them too, where you can just say, I'm going to donate these. And so my wife bought a bunch, and instead of bringing them home, because she knows I eat them like a freed hostage, she donated all the cookies, which is nice. That's good. Donate the cookies. Susan, you don't have any Girl Scout cookies in there, do you, in the newsroom?
I do not. There is quite an assortment of other items from the weekend, but no Girl Scout cookies.
Now, I'm looking for the peanut butter sandwiches. Those are my favorite.
Or the s'mores.
I think the Samoas?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I like those, too. Those are my two favorites. I know Thin Mint is the popular choice, but, you know. I like a Thin Mint, nice Thin Mint, but I go with a peanut butter sandwich. All right, listen, we'll talk a little bit more about the Oscars. If you want to weigh in, 312-981-7200. I have to figure out why Leonardo DiCaprio won for wrestling a bear. That seems a little weird. But we'll get into all of that on the other side. And if you want to join in, join in. We do have some texts coming in as well, so we'll get to all of that on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick on 720 at WGN. We're talking a little bit of Oscars. Nick will get into it a lot more tomorrow. I did not see 90% of the Oscars, but you may have. What did you think? 312-981-7200. I did see this part, and I had not heard of the movie Till It Happens to You. It's a documentary about sexual assault on campus. And I was in with Dan, and the Academy Awards were on, and all of a sudden, Vice President Joe Biden pops on the screen, and I thought maybe he had wandered into the wrong event, but no, he did not. He was there for a reason.
Good evening, and thank you very much. Despite significant progress over the last few years, too many women and men on and off college campuses are still victims of sexual abuse. And tonight, I'm asking you to join millions of Americans, including me, President Obama, the thousands of students I've met on college campuses, and the artists here tonight, to take the pledge, a pledge that says, I will intervene in situations when consent has not or cannot be given. Let's change the culture. We must and we can change the culture so that no abused woman or man, like the survivors you will see tonight, ever feel they have to ask themselves, what did I do? They did nothing wrong. So, folks, I really mean this. I'm sincere. Take the pledge. Go look at visititsonus.org. Now, performing her Oscar-nominated song, Till It Happens to You, written with Diane Warren, for the film The Hunting Ground, welcome, my friend, and a courageous lady yourself, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I was surprised that Lady Gaga and Joe Biden were friends, and I made a mistake. The song is Till It Happens to You. The film is called The Hunting Ground. So it was a very moving performance. Here's a little bit of Lady Gaga performing this song from The Hunting Ground. And at the end, Lady Gaga had survivors of sexual assault on. They all had messages written on their arm. They joined hands. It was very, very powerful. So that was one of the more moving moments of the night, a night that, by all accounts, did not have a lot of big moments. A lot of people, I'm saying, they were underwhelmed, let's say. Text from the 847, Lady Gaga's rendition of the song from Spotlight about sex to Spotlight Sexual Abuse Survivors was very powerful, moving, and memorable, especially when the curtain opened to reveal about 50 sexual abuse survivors. She did a great job. And somebody else texting in from the 847, I like Chris Rock's statement without saying a word when he walked on stage wearing a black and white tux. So that was it. All right. I have not seen The Revenant. Dan, did you see The Revenant?
I have not.
All right. I know Susan didn't because Susan and I don't go to movies. We don't. Neither does Dan. We're, you know, we leave that to other people. Online it says Chris Rock sold $65,000 in cookies. That can't be right. No, because the comma is he's got 65,000 and then another 2,430. He didn't sell over $6 million in cookies. Because those kids would have won every prize given out by the Girl Scouts, which have gotten a little weaker over the years, if I'm going to be honest. And I don't think I should be anything but.
I read an article that they have. There's two places you can actually get two different recipes of Girl Scout cookies, depending on what part of the nation you live.
Yeah, I know. And when we were living in California, you didn't get some of the cookies that were available here in the Midwest and vice versa. So I don't no accounting for taste, I guess. But some of the staples are always there. It's always like the lemonade cookie or, you know, some of the off cookies that you can't get in one place or another. You can always get Thin Mints. You can always get the peanut butter sandwiches. You can always get the Samoas. I call them Samoans just because, you know, I'm an idiot and I like to say Samoans because they're coconut and they seem tropical to me. That's why I go. All right. So nobody here saw The Revenant. I know it's been huge at the box office. It's director won Best Director. The first time in 65 years, I think, that a director has won back to back because he also directed Birdman, which I have on DVD. I got my screener last year. I have not watched Birdman. I'm way behind. I didn't watch last year's winning movie. So how am I supposed to watch it? But the whole movie's about Leonardo wrestling a bear, right? Is that basically the gist? He's like an unshaven frontiers guy and he fights a bear and then he has to survive. Is that the whole thing?
Pretty much.
That's the movie, right? That's what I'm getting from it. I don't know. Maybe you love The Revenant. A lot of people did. Maybe I'll see it someday because I love bears. I do. I have a fixation on bears. They're big and scary and, well, like me. So I like them. I don't know if I want to see them wrestle Leonardo DiCaprio for 2 hours. Does he run? He doesn't fight him the whole movie. It's not like Rocky where he fights the bear, then he goes off and trains, and then he comes back and fights the bear again, like a big rematch with swelling themes and all that. Nothing. All right. Well, I know we got to get to the news. Susan is waiting patiently. She's like, I don't care if you wrestle a bear. I may wrestle a bear in here just for fun. Do you? Well, here's what Leo said when he finally won the Oscar for Best Actor.
We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters of the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most affected by this, for our children's children, and for those people out there whose voices have been drowned out by the politics of greed. I thank you all for this amazing award tonight. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take tonight for granted. Thank you so very much.
Who speaks for the Bears, Leo? Who speaks for the Bears? It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick will be back tomorrow morning at his usual time, so have no fear. All right, it is Leap Day. Happy Leap Day. If you're trying to figure out a way to celebrate, perhaps, ladies, you've been being patient with your boyfriend or your mate, your significant other, and you're thinking, you know what, I've had just about enough of this waiting around stuff. Maybe I should take matters into my own hands. I don't know if people do that. But on Leap Day, there is an old Irish custom, an old tradition. And so instead of us talking about it here in America, why not go over to Ireland and talk to a woman who has taken part in this tradition? She is a writer for Irish Times. Aoife McIlwain joins me now on WGN. Aoife, good morning. Happy Leap Day.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
So can you explain to us this Irish tradition of women taking things into their own hands, so to speak, on Leap Day?
So there does seem to be a tradition, an informal tradition of women being allowed to propose to their fellas on the 29th of February. There's stories around something to do with St. Bridget, who was a great sort of warrior queen in the 5th century, that she made some kind of deal with St. Patrick. But to be honest, modern historians really don't have any kind of evidence of this deal. There's no pact. They didn't write it down. They didn't text it to each other. So we're not sure if it actually happened. But there's also, it's quite interesting, there's a similar tradition in Finland. And as Ireland and the Finnish people, we share a lot of ancestors from the Vikings and stuff like that. So it could have been something that was brought in there. But anyway, it has become a thing that, yes, it's a day that that women could propose to their significant others. So I think it was kind of immortalized in the 2010 film Leap Year, starring Amy Adams, which was received in Ireland with much hilarity because of a couple of bad Irish accents and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess for me personally, it was a chance for me to be able to make a display of love to my own partner. And I thought it would be a lot of fun to propose on this day. So that's why I went for it personally.
So you'd grown up hearing this legend and you decide, you know what, I'm tired of waiting around. You decide you're going to make the proposal on this day. When you told people about this, your friends, family, before you did it, did you meet with some resistance or was it like, oh, okay, this seems like a logical thing to do?
Yeah, well, everyone, my close friends and family know that my partner and I have a very equal relationship. They knew that I wasn't rushing into it, per se. I might be a bit competitive, so I think I just wanted to beat him to it, to be honest. But what I actually did was the first person I spoke to about it was my own mother, who was really supportive and just thought it was a great idea. She did wonder if I'd be stealing his thunder. That was her only worry. She was saying, you know, what if he's got this elaborate proposal planned and you pull the rug out under him? And I was like, well, he can do the proposal later, I guess, if he wants to. But
sure.
The second person I told was I took my partner, who's called Niall, I took his mother out for dinner about a month before Leap Year Day to ask for his hand in marriage. So that was a really beautiful bonding experience for myself and my mother-in-law, and her reaction was just perfection. She was so delighted, and her actual words were, good for you, beat him to it. So, you know, I had great support. I had great support from my family and friends, and I suppose it was, again, when people, your friends and family know what kind of relationship you're in, and if it's a good one, usually people are just delighted about engagements and marriage when it's a happy,
sure,
happy thing. So yeah, everyone was really behind it.
So how did he react?
Well, so I took him actually to there's a beautiful park in Dublin called the Ivy Gardens, and we'd had an early date there. So I got him under completely false pretenses to this park, and I thought it would be very quiet because I just in the off chance that he wasn't happy with me getting down on one knee, I didn't want to do it in a really crowded public place. So it was a beautiful day this time 4 years ago, beautiful day. And so when we got to the park, it was so full, I couldn't even believe it. So I tried to kind of get him into a quiet part, and I ended up like nearly walking him into like a ditch, and he was wondering what I was doing. And anyway, suddenly, out of nowhere, this tree appeared. So I took the moment, and I got down on one knee, and I looked up at his face, and honestly, in all of my best imaginings of how the proposal would go, the face that he looked back at me was the one that I'd really hoped I would see. And it was just, He just looked so happy. He looked delighted that I was doing it. He was taking me seriously as well, and he said yes, and it was a great moment.
Well, congratulations! And that was how many years ago?
So that's exactly 4 years ago today.
Very nice. Well, congratulations. Now Ireland is changing, and based on your great piece in the Irish Times. And we know this over here as we watch Ireland becoming much more tolerant with marriage and all sorts of things, which is great. Are you seeing more women take the proposals into their own hands and say, listen, we don't have to wait for anybody. We can do whatever we want. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on February 29th.
Most definitely. And it's really interesting for me to see the difference in 4 years. I might be more aware of it than others because... of course, I would have been allowed. I'm putting that in inverted commas,
yes.
I suppose, to Niall outside of Leap Year Day. But it felt like at least on that day I would be taken a bit more seriously. But now that wouldn't even be. It really wouldn't be as much of a worry. And I really believe that women proposing now, Ireland certainly ready for it, and I think we'll see a lot more of it. And that's great. You know, it's. What I've really enjoyed about being a proposee, I love sharing stories with kind of men who have proposed to their, I'm kind of part of that proposal club, which is sort of unusual for a woman. And
yeah.
I think it's a really nice thing that men and women could do. We have the same abilities to think of elaborate proposals. And I've seen such a difference in Ireland, certainly in the last 4 years. So definitely going to see more women proposing.
Well, and I would imagine, I don't know about your fiance, but at the time, but it's got to take, for some guys, it's got to be a big relief because you know if this is the woman you want to marry and the woman knows if you're the person they want to marry. And to just say, oh, wow, okay, you beat me to it. I'm good with that. You know.
Yes.
Now, can I real quick, and with that too, because men always have to buy a ring. Did you? When you made the proposal, was there an exchange of jewelry of any sort?
Well, what we did was my mother actually gave me a little pin that's been in our family for maybe about 30 years. And she gave it to me the night before Leap Year Day, this time 4 years ago. And so that's what I gave to Niall. And what we did with... I personally, I'm not a jewelry gal, but what we did was when we got married, which was the 29th of December of 2014, we actually went to a jeweler's and we made our own wedding rings from a stick of, like, we soldered them and hammered them and everything. So that
oh,
was
cool.
the special ring that we exchanged with each other, but we actually made them ourselves. So we're a bit DIY in my family. So
you gotta like that. Speaking of DIY, besides being a writer for Irish Times, you are also a part of Forkful TV. What's that about?
Well, it's a food recipe and video website. I run it with my friend Mark Duggan. So we try to make very simple, accessible recipes, and we love to highlight Irish ingredients. Irish food is going through a bit of a renaissance, and we're really rediscovering our own gorgeous local ingredients. So, we try to highlight those ingredients through our recipes and videos.
What are some of the big ingredients now that are making the comeback?
Well, same in the States, we're still pretty excited about beetroots. They grow so well here. But there's also just an amazing amount of cheese and meat as well. And the thing about Ireland, it's so small and it's very green. I have a great friend who's from just outside Chicago. She has a great blog called edibleireland.com. She's based in Ireland. But she says that all Irish food is local, and she sees it from the perspective of coming from the Midwest, where maybe it's a little bit bigger than Ireland.
Sure.
And so in Ireland, it's very easy to really, honestly, meet the person who's grown your food and stuff like that. So we'd like to celebrate that. And so beetroots are still big.
How big is seafood in the Irish diet, being in being an island?
You know, that's a very interesting question. There's a it is not as huge as you would think, even though we're an island country. There's a couple of theories about why. One is that we actually do export a lot of our own fish. It's a great money maker for the country. Yeah, so so we definitely export a lot of our best fish, and maybe the stuff we keep, our pollock and stuff like that, isn't as popular. But there's another, probably more likely theory, and when the Catholic Church was very powerful here, on a Friday it was you had to eat fish,
right?
Basically, and there's a theory that after 100 years of that, people were like, you know what? I'm not going to eat fish ever again.
Well, sure.
It's very interesting. I mean, of course, we do eat fish, and we love we have some amazing smoked salmon producers. There's a wonderful smoked salmon producer in the Burren, which is on the west of Ireland, the Burren Smokehouse, and we have that heritage skill of preserving and smoking too. So we usually, smoked fish might be a bit more popular, but it's not. We're not eating fish every day. Take it like that.
Right? All right. Well, Aoife, has been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for sharing this tradition. And good luck with Forkful TV and everything
else.
Thank you. I really appreciate you calling, and great talking to you. And happy Leap Day, and happy anniversary of your proposal.
Thank you so much. Thanks a million.
Take care. That's Aoife McLuhan, McElwain, rather. You can read her in Irish Times. Go to irishtimes.com. Very good story about how she proposed to her husband, Niall. And leap year proposals, ladies popping the question. So there you go. Hey, guess what it's time for? Yes, it's time for weather and traffic. All right, we've got a couple things we have to get to before 4 o'clock. One, it is Leap Day, and we just talked to Aoife McElwain from, she was in, where was she, Dublin? She was somewhere in Ireland. Well, I'll say Dublin. Why not? Everybody knows Dublin. But she got engaged on Leap Day. She asked her now husband, I'm wondering, ladies, if any of you have popped the question, whether it was Leap Day or not. Did you decide that you'd waited long enough, or you just couldn't wait any longer? This was the man you wanted to be with, and you were going to ask him. You didn't care what people thought of it. Did you do it? How'd you do it? And how did he react? And fellas, would you have said yes if your wife had asked you? I've been married almost 24 years. I don't know. I don't know if my wife would have asked me, you know, because I had to take the tape off her mouth to get her answer anyway. So I don't know. All right. We also have a couple people. I've been talking about Leonardo DiCaprio fighting a bear in The Revenant. So a couple people want to clarify from the 815. Fighting, in quotes, the bear is giving Leonardo a little more credit than he deserves. He basically played chew toy for approximately 5 minutes. He should have won the award for best bear treat biscuit. So, all right. Very good. And from the 630, I saw The Revenant, and I did not, N-O-T in capitals, expect it to win the Oscars. It won. Other than Leo's performance, I've seen more beautiful cinematography. The pacing was uneven, and some of its very violent scenes looked like they were computer game animation. The movie's worth seeing, but I'd give it 3 stars, not 4. All right. And again, I haven't seen it, so I can't. I've seen the trailer, and it looked pretty. But again, I just thought, yeah, there's Grizzly Adams fighting a bear. A much better looking Grizzly Adams. Who's not getting along with his bear? Grizzly loved his bear. Leo doesn't look like he loves his bear. Then does he spend the whole movie just tracking the bear down? Is that the deal? It seems like a pretty thin plot.
Well, I believe he tracks down the fellow hunters he was with who just left him for dead.
Oh, I see.
After the bear.
So it's a revenge story.
Yes, it is.
Does he ride the bear to a reckoning? Does he saddle up the bear and ride that to hunt down these other men?
I am not aware, but I believe he rides a horse. I believe he crawls 200 miles, like army crawls 200 miles or something crazy like that.
Army crawls 200 miles.
I kid you not. I know.
He can't get up because, he's been eaten by a bear.
Mauled
by a bear, sure.
But then it does end with a tete-a-tete between him and Tom Hardy.
Tete-a-tete?
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating. I will now see a movie with a tete-a-tete. Rarely have I been to the cinema where I've awaited a tete-a-tete. Now, this gives me reason. That and a bear attack. Could Leo's encounter with the bear be viewed as a tete-a-tete?
I would think so.
Sure, of course. There's
So it begins and ends.
I like how it comes full circle. You know I enjoy closure, so I love things in cyclical fashion. And I like tete-a-tete because that's also cyclical. It's same word at the front and the back. I don't think I've ever said tete-a-tete before.
I'm pretty sure I've said it about 7,000.
Yeah, are we even using it correctly?
According to Merriam-Webster, it's a private conversation between two people.
I'm sure there was a private conversation between Leo and the bear, or Leo's character in the bear. Like, get off me. So maybe that's the tete-a-tete.
It was that Honda commercial that's out now where that guy starts the car from his watch.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that? It was in the Super Bowl.
I didn't watch it. I was working during counter-programming,
Dad. That's right. You came on early to counter-program.
That's right. I counter-program the big events. If there's ever a television program that is going to be seen by the world, I am the alternative. If you don't want to see what the rest of the world is seeing, you can listen to me.
That's how Kathy and Judy got their start.
Sure. So. Well, they did very well with theirs. I have not turned mine into that sort of,
empire.
Empire.
Yes.
That's the right word for that, empire. All right. So what does he do with the watch? He just...
So they're sleeping in the woods, they're camping.
Oh, sure.
And then two bears chase him.
I have seen this. Yes. And he's, open the door.
Start my car.
Yeah, I've seen that. I have seen that one. I watched... What was I watching? One of those reality shows, like I Can't Believe I Survived or something.
WGN, thanks for holding.
Oh, thanks, Dan. That'd be great. I appreciate that. No, that's okay. That's the lovely voice you'll hear if you call 312-981-7200. That's how Dan answers the phone. He's very professional, I would say. But, you know, who am I to judge? All right. So I don't know. Going back, enough of the bear and Leo, unless you have a thought on that. But about this proposing thing on Leap Day, I had never heard of this. I'm probably too old. I'm too stuck in my ways. But I think now that if a woman, you know, back in the day, people used to think, oh, a woman who would have to ask a man to marry her, that must seem desperate. Oh, okay. A lot more from the 708. A lot more to the Revenant story than just a bear mauling. It's worth a watch. Still not his best performance by any means. All right, I'll give it a watch. It's going to come to HBO or Showtime pretty soon, and then I'll watch it. Just like I haven't watched any other movie except Mad Max again. Will The Revenant keep me awake, do you think?
Actually, I would imagine that if Mad Max didn't keep you awake, this will not.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's not much that keeps me awake anymore. It's very sad. But no, Mad Max kept me awake most of it. It had just been a long day when I finally watched it.
Sure.
You know, I'm up early, Dan. I got things to do.
You got things to do.
I'm looking up what tete-a-tete means. I'm trying to decide if I need to have a tete-a-tete with somebody.
Apparently, it's got a furniture connotation as well.
It does?
Yes. A short piece of furniture, as if a sofa, intended to seat two persons, especially facing each other.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah. They're kind of curvy. They're,
right.
They look like an S.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit on it. You ever sat on a tete-a-tete, Susan?
I think that I have.
All right. And how'd you like it?
I like the bigger couches better.
Yeah, I don't
better
want
to. Better than a bear mauling, though?
Is there anything better than a bear mauling? I don't think so. How are you ever going to get the rug if you don't wrestle the bear? That's my new phrase. That's what I tell people. How are you going to get the rug if you don't wrestle the bear? They go, what does that mean? Yeah, figure it out.
Daughter calls you. She's having problems with the class.
That's right. Listen, you got to suck it up. How are you going to get the rug if you don't wrestle the bear? But, Dad, I'm talking about physics. Yeah, so am I. You know, it's leverage. Give a bear a hip toss, wrestle it to the ground. My wife proposed to me from the 815. I asked her dad out for dinner to ask for her hand in marriage, and during our dinner is when she came into the restaurant and asked me to marry her. I never felt so embarrassed in my life. We've been married for 9 years now. Yeah, I wouldn't want her doing it in front of her dad and in front of everybody else. But, like, if my daughter down the road, if she ever was in a position where she wanted to get married and she felt that the person she was with was the one and they were in love, yeah, why not? You know? Oh, Dan, Leo goes after the guy that killed his son.
My mistake.
See, at least we admitted that we hadn't seen the movie. This is what happens with a trailer. Because in the trailer, when the trailer's on, I hear a beep. That means it's time for the news. So let's do this, and then it'll be Susan's turn to talk. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Have no fear, Nick will be back tomorrow morning. He was just taking this morning off because Sunday night was Nick's Super Bowl. It was the Oscars, and you know how Nick loves that. And he was, I think he had to sit home because as I was looking at his predictions, he was doing very well, and I know he was very jazzed about Mad Max Fury Road winning 6 Oscars last night. Very, very impressive. All right, we were talking about Leap Day and the tradition of ladies being allowed, and of course I'd say allowed like our guest Aoife did with the air quotes, because ladies, you're allowed to do whatever you want. But past decorum said that ladies did not ask men to marry them, except on Leap Day. And some people have some thoughts. 312-981-7200. You're always welcome to share them here. Linda's been hanging on. Hi, Linda. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, it's kind of been just let go. They used to, when I was in high school back in the 60s and late 50s, we had Sadie Hawkins Day. And that was picked up from Little Abner. And I don't know if you remember.
I do remember Little Abner, sure. And Daisy, was it Daisy May?
Yes.
Yes.
She was always chasing him. And
yes,
the guys would run in dog patch because on Leap Day, the girls were able to ask him to marry him. And they would, you know, have to marry him. And that was it. Sadie Hawkins Day, the girls got to ask the boys to the dance. And they had a dance on February the 29th, which was Sadie Hawkins Day.
Right, and then that turned into turnabout. That was the new term for it when my daughter was in school, was turnabout, when that was the dance where the girls would ask the boys. So it kept it. It's, I think it's still going on. I haven't been to a high school dance in quite some time. Dan likes to hang around at the high school dances, but Linda, that's a whole different thing. We probably shouldn't get into it. I don't think I should have mentioned it, but the cat's out of the bag. Linda, thanks very much. Have a great morning. Appreciate the call.
Too.
Thank you. Did you go to Turnabout, Dan? Oh, you went to, you like me, went to an all boys high school.
I did. Yes.
So the Turnabout would have been a rift. Same guys you see all the time. You
right.
Want to go to a dance? I don't know. You want to go to a dance? Okay.
We did have co-ed dances, though.
So did we. I think we. Yes, we did.
Yes. And I was asked by a girl to dance.
Really?
Yes.
Look at you.
I know.
Always suave.
Quite a highlight.
Suave and de boner. That's you, buddy.
The one and only time.
Sure. Did you have a tete-a-tete while you danced? Could weave that in. That's
Since it is a private conversation between two peoples, yes,
of
we did.
Of course you did. Susan, did you ever go to the Sadie Hawkins or Turnabout dance?
Oh, absolutely. I like that one because it gave us females a little bit more control of the situation.
Yeah, I liked it. I know my daughter looked forward to it, but there's always that fear. And it's just, see, and I welcome that. Guys always had a fear of asking girls to the dances because, of course, you could be shot down, denied. And that's humiliating because it's not like if you're an adult at a bar and you go ask somebody to dance or to buy a drink, you can walk away and never see those people again. If you ask a girl to a dance and she says no, you have to see her next period and tomorrow and every day until school's out. So I know my daughter and her friends were always nervous when it came time for Turnabout because then they had to take that risk. And I'm trying to remember if my daughter ever got turned down or not. I think she might have once, and it was heartbreaking. And then the girl and a couple of her friends did as well. And I don't understand boys anymore, because back when I was in high school, if a girl asked me to a dance, I would have been so appreciative, I would have gone immediately. But some of these boys, Susan, they have the gall to say no. Can you believe it?
Well, it just as long, I guess, as long as it doesn't happen to my daughter, then I'm just going to try to skate through and hope that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, you, of course you hope that. But then, I don't know if your daughter does this, then my daughter and her friends would all go to the dance as a group.
That's a big thing now.
That is a huge
thing. That's trending.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. But they all would go, I guess because they want to go to the dance, and they did it to a number of dances. They would just go as all the girls would go if they couldn't get dates.
Right, and it almost seems like in that event, they're just having fun, which is better than all the stress of, oh,
yes,
okay, I'm with this date, how is this going to go, blah, blah, blah. I'm kind of a fan of that.
I liked it, too. It was fine with me because I didn't want any boys coming sniffing around.
Exactly.
You know, keep them at the distance. And then the girls all go, they have a good time, and maybe they – I would say to her, did you dance? Oh, we all danced together. Okay, was there ever a, one-on-one kind of dance? Then she wouldn't say. But then prom, they did all have dates.
Prom is still the big deal to have a date, to my understanding.
Yes, but there were some people who went to prom just as, again, with a group, because they didn't have dates and they didn't want to shell out the money just to go for a date, with a date that they weren't actually going out with.
And it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And now she's got to go to these sorority dances, and that's the same kind of deal. It's a lot of money, a lot of hooey for nothing. What do you
exactly?
Good old
ripoff.
It is a ripoff, Susan. It's all love's a ripoff. Let's be no. Wow! Suddenly, Leap Day has taken a horrible turn. It has gone from ladies being empowered to ask men to marry them to now love is a horrible thing. That's not right.